I don't know how to feel. Crystal, how are you feeling? You're gonna have to introduce yourself, by the way.
I'm feeling great. My name is Chris, Christopher, you know, whatever you may know me as. I'm very known in the part-time Christian comedian stand-up community.
Christopher, but for those that out, would you be offended?
Slightly. But for those that don't, you know, I attend Warwick University. Can't really say my address or what year I'm in for safety reasons. But
Christopher, someone not to get you or something.
I don't know.
Okay, no worries.
I'm a controversial figure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not Marmite, you know. You either love me or you hate me. And most people tend to love me, but, you know, you never know. Like, I might rub someone the wrong way. I have already, but they're just not in a position where they can do anything to me. So, like, you know. But that might change in the future. Like, I might annoy, like, a bodybuilder or something. And they might come punch me up. I'm not really a fan of that. So, like I said, safety reasons. But that withstanding, yeah, I'm here to talk about the things you can't touch.
Hi guys, welcome to episode. Hi everyone, greetings to you. I'm not gonna let the intro to be too long, as Christopher has given us an intro that's long enough. But this is episode 3 of season 2. I hope you enjoy the conversation. With that being said, without further ado, that's what they say. What does that mean?
Without further ado,
yeah.
I don't really know. I don't know what ado means. Like, I guess without doing too much before introduction.
Further ado. You kind of ate that. That's that Shakespeare. Anyway, much ado about nothing. Okay.
Speaking of Shakespeare, did you guys know that Shakespeare invented the word bedroom?
No.
I didn't know that.
So before bedroom, before he invented bedroom, like, what were they saying?
I don't know.
Quarters.
Ah.
The quarters. Yeah. I feel like you've looked at the screen.
I have, but I'm not looking any further. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't looked at notes.
Cool, but did you see the question?
Yeah.
Ah, well, is what it is. As you've seen, will you ever understand me?
I don't know.
That is like a terrible answer. You're supposed to be talking for an hour long.
Will I ever understand you?
Yeah.
Like, you specifically?
That's a good question. Yeah, let's start there before, because I'm going to make it broader. I'm going to take it to a broader level, further down the conversation. But yeah, would you ever understand me? Just like, tell me how you understand the question.
Well, what comes to mind is I could only understand what you present me, you know? Oh. I think to understand someone, I feel like I'd have a dictionary definition of it, but it's to, like,
to understand.
To know, like,
what's your definition of to understand?
To know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To have knowledge on something.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And not just partial, but fully. Yeah, okay. I think, like, that's a key part of understanding.
Hold on to that, because we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
It's good to define something and then refer back to definition in order to find out if you're really hitting the nail on the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, just to repeat, you said to know is to understand fully.
Mm-hmm.
No, to understand is to know fully. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. When I say, like, will you ever understand me? I'm talking about the concept of you, understanding the concept of me. So, like, to you, what is the concept of you and what is the concept of me?
The concept of me?
Oh, God.
Well, is that me as a personality or me as a part of, you know, bigger social groups that I belong to?
I think both.
Okay, well, I'll stick with bigger social groups for now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will a cis black male understand another cishet black woman?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not assuming, you know what I mean? I don't wanna put anyone's business out there.
Yeah.
But yeah. I suppose it depends, you know. It depends on how similar our experiences.
Okay. I feel like, so it's about experience.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, for me, it's like we're gonna have to go all the way into our backstories to know our experiences, because, like, we grew up in relatively similar areas simply because of our postcodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is that enough for you to ever understand me? Because I think the biggest distinction between me and you is that you're very evidently a black man and I'm hopefully very evidently a black woman.
Right.
And, like, in society, you already know, we've been through much as Black people in general, but the experiences of Black men and Black women are quite very different, unless you disagree.
It's true. As you touched upon on Dear Black Men, go watch that if you haven't. Yeah, I mean, just saying. Just by way of me being a man and you being a woman.
Yeah.
And then when you add on top of that, the fact that you being Black makes your experience specifically different. And me being Black specifically different. You know, there are some things that we both experience.
For example.
Have seen and gone through. Well, hyper-masculinization. That's something that...
Would I have gone through that?
Potentially.
That's true.
Know? I don't know your specific experience, but that's something that's, you know...
But I think that's what I'm trying to touch on. Like, you don't know my specific experience. So would you ever understand me? So, like, if I'm trying to explain to you what happened to me, if anything ever happens to me, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, depressing, or, like, joyous, will you ever, like, fully understand what I'm saying? Or are you just doing your best to grasp the concepts that you understand from your experience and compare it with what I'm saying to you and putting two and four together and hopefully getting six?
I think it's a mix of both, really. Okay. I think you might say something and it's something I've been through, you know, happy, sad, otherwise, you know what I mean?
How would you know?
It depends on how you present it to me. That's why I think, going back to my first answer, you know, I could only understand what you present, you know. I don't think I could understand fully because I haven't gone through every single one of your experiences that's informed who you
are. So therefore, you're never going to really understand me?
Yeah, I think that's where I'd lie. If there's a spectrum of, yes, I understand you, and no, I never will. I think I'm closer to that.
So not understanding. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully, like, that's what I think. By the end of this conversation, we're going to see if we're both, like, still agree that we'll never really understand each other. Because I was going to say we can also flip it. Will I ever understand you? But throughout the conversation, we'll see what becomes of us.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's a bit sociological. And we've already gone through the concept of who you are and who I am. But you said something. You said it's how I present it to you. On that note, how will you ever really get what I say? Because sometimes I feel like when I'm speaking, people don't get me. Like when I speak, people interpret. And the thing is, like, that's just how language works in general.
Mm-hmm.
I speak and you speak. But the journey of the concepts in my head turning into words and then becoming something and then becoming expressions through the air, entering your ears and then your cognitive understanding, there's so much that can be lost.
It's
so
true.
How do I translate that to that? So how does what I present to you become something that you understand?
I suppose it's all in the details, you know, and specifically the way that in which they're presented. Like, for example, let's say I go outside, like, I'm going to shops or whatever, and I get punched up by like 100 people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they're all putting hands and feet, just...
like, 100 people.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I get punched up by 100 people.
Yeah.
And then I run into you after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm fine.
You're fine after being beat up by 100 people?
I might have a black eye, but I didn't die.
One black eye, okay.
One black eye, you know? Like, they didn't... They were weak, but there was a lot of them type thing, so they left the black eye.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you ask me, what happened to my eye?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I tell you, I ran into a pole. Or, I ran into one person. One really strong person.
Yeah.
You know? Your understanding of the situation
is
not accurate based on what I've presented you. Do you know what I mean? Because I have not presented the details in a way that allows for that. Do you know what I mean? And I think we as people, certain times, like, there are certain interactions we all have in life where, you know, we may not be upfront with the details and context of that inform why something has happened or why we are the way we are.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people attest to the fact that if I ask you how you are today, or if someone asks you, like, anyone, not even necessarily someone close, like, if someone asks you how you are today, a lot of people are going to say they're fine, even when they're not. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And stuff like that. And it's like, because you don't want the other person to understand
Okay, so that's in an instant in which like you're intentionally obscuring
right,
information.
Right.
But in a situation where it's like I'm genuinely trying to explain to you like how I feel and what I went through.
Right.
Will you ever truly, really, actually get it? In a situation in which I'm not trying to like hide any information.
I suppose it depends on who I am, because on the flip side, like you said, you might be trying your utmost to be explaining the details of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
An event and your emotions, but I just might not have the context to grasp what you're saying, you know? It's like trying to explain racism to white people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, sometimes they just don't have the context necessary to grasp what you're saying. Like, they can't grasp why a security guard that's not black following you is racially charged, you know? Because what does that mean? Like, it's just a security guard following you. Like, they don't have the context to know that, oh, black people are historically criminalized and this, that, and the third. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's something that is true for, you know, interactions between people. Like, you might tell me something and, like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Okay. Even if you're trying your hardest.
Two things. I don't want to interrupt you. I wanted to let you finish. I got two things. Firstly, you said it's about not having the context. Is it about not having the context or not having the experience?
I use the words interchangeably.
Okay. So the context is like the experience, Loki.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So with that being said, are you saying that in order for me to understand you and for you to understand me, to some degree, you have to have some sort of experience that matches the experience that I'm explaining?
Yes.
Okay. That becomes problematic in a sense that does the understanding, because that's another thing that like I want to talk about, does the understanding have to be like bar for bar understanding, like 100% understanding? So therefore, is it a thing where you have to have gone through the exact same experience as me, like the temperature in the room has to be the exact same, the number of people in the room, the same people wearing the same thing, in the same, like the every exact same thing has to be the same in order for your experience or your understanding of my experience to be the same? Do you see the problem?
Right. Well, obviously, when you put it like that, no. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I'd still argue that there are certain things that have to stay the same, you know? Like,
okay. But do you see, like, where do we draw the line? Do you see the issue?
I do. But I think it's the type of thing where it's hard to draw a hard line. I didn't mean to do that. But, let's say, like, it's a thing where it's really case by case for me. Like, I think, you know, like, if a child comes up to me and they tell me they're excited about something that I really don't care about, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I will understand why they're excited, because I was once a child that cared about things that adults didn't care about, you know? But it might not be the same thing. You know, we might be talking about completely different things.
Yeah, but like the concept of excitement, you experience that as well.
Exactly, but it might not be in the same way.
Okay.
So there's still the core there.
So what exactly are you understanding?
The feeling.
But you said that the feeling might not be the same.
No, we might not be excited over the same thing.
Okay. But do you think the feeling is the same? Do you think I feel excitement the same way that you feel? Do you think I feel excitement the same way that you feel excitement?
When you say feel, what do you mean? Like, show it or just feel it internally?
Just feel it internally.
I don't know. I guess so. But there's no way to know.
That's not good enough for me.
I mean,
it's not that your answer's not good enough. It's that concept is not good enough, because, like, if we think about it on, like, a grand scale, for one, I feel like this is the core, not the core, but, like, one of the reasons for, like, a lot of political...
I'm glad you brought up politics. Oh,
yes. But like, do you get like the word that I meant? A lot of political friction, if you like, because people just don't understand each other. And speaking in general, if we like, so this is just me and you, like, will you ever understand me? This is just like me and you sitting here, let alone everyone in the whole world, just interacting with each other and having conversations. Will anyone ever understand each other at all, to any point, at any degree? Truly understand each other
to any degree?
Yeah.
To any degree, I think yes. But
how do you know? How do you know that your excitement is my excitement? Because, you know, for example, actually, no, let me let you finish what you were going to say. Do you know what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Finish what you were going to say, and then I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
I think a lot of understanding when it comes to, like, human interactions is based on presumption, you know?
Wow.
Like, if you tell me you're excited about something, I have, like, at first at least, I'm going to have the presumption that your excitement means a lot. Or it means to you the same thing it means to me. And that's what I'm basing my understanding of. As opposed to me actually knowing exactly how excitement works to you. Do you know what I mean? For example, if I tell someone that I'm happy about something.
Yeah.
But their understanding of happy is someone that's jumping for joy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, their presumption of someone that's happy is, you know, someone that's outwardly excited, you know, physical movements. They might look at me, sitting still, and think, is he okay? You know? And that's because they're working off
Even though you're happy.
Exactly. You know? And that's because they're working off their own presumptions. I think that's something that's a lot more common. Like, if we're talking a wider scale, I think that's, like, that is a common route for misunderstanding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, like, I think my issue is that I think everything is a misunderstanding. Like, everything. Even if the outcome is good, I think, I don't know if it's by chance that we are still functioning as a society. I don't know if everything just is coincidentally making sense. Because, like, how I feel and how I express my emotions using the language that I learned, because that's another issue, language. How do you know that what I'm saying is what I'm, like, how do you know that what you're understanding that I'm saying is what I intended for you to understand that I'm saying?
Not clear. And
that's the problem.
Speaking on a personal level, misunderstanding is something that I've run into a lot in my life, you know, whether I'm being misunderstood or whether I'm misunderstanding, you know. I think, like, the conclusion I've come to is there's really no way to know. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know? Like,
isn't that just so sad and scary to you, though? You don't care?
We border.
If you say so.
You know what I mean? Like, such is the manner of life.
But no, but to what degree? Like, is life supposed to be like that? Because I feel like a lot of us think that everything is fine. I think a lot of us, like, live in society thinking that when I say something to someone, they understand what I'm saying. But to what degree and to what extent? What if we actually understand, like, 0 to 1% of what anyone is saying about anything? And about what anyone is feeling about anything.
It's a real possibility, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think, like, is that going to change? Maybe not.
That's a good question. Like, do we have to understand each other? Like, clearly, like, well, I wouldn't say society is working, but something's happening, Sha. Like,
yeah, we're going somewhere.
Yeah, you know, like, it's going, and, like, it's not falling apart, at least. So it's not the end of the world, I guess. But I think in my head, a little bit, it's just, I don't know, I don't like it very much.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a fan of it either. Like, I think a lot of society, just on the wider, like, on a grander scale, you can think, is based on not understanding, you know? Like,
do you think that's why we have so many issues?
Definitely. We have so many issues, and they stay issues because the people that are in control of said issues don't see them as issues. Because they don't understand.
How's a word?
You know? Like, it's like, how can you explain to someone that's been rich their whole lives that they can't just save and get out of poverty, you know?
I didn't understand what you said.
As in, you didn't understand?
Oh, yeah.
That's ironic.
No, like, it's just, I don't know, I think I was slow then. How do you explain to someone?
Yeah, how do you explain to someone that's rich that the poor can't save their ways?
Okay, out of poverty, yeah.
You know? Like, okay. Things like that. Like, that's something that...
Because they don't understand and they haven't had the experience.
Exactly. You know, that's something that you couldn't understand unless you've had the experience type thing. I feel like there's a lot of things that revolve around you having to have the experience in order to, like, understand.
To understand something.
You know?
Right. That's probably the issue. Oh, my gosh. That's, like, that might be the, like, core, the root. Cause of, like, all of the, like, disparities in, like, a lot of, like, in race, what's the word, not economy, like
class.
Class. And there's another one.
Gender.
Yeah. And like also like the rich and the poor people. So like the differences and the reasons why we like maybe one of the reasons why there's so much friction there is because they don't like we don't understand each other. But to some degree it's like why should the people who are being oppressed or why should the people who are suffering have to understand the people who are not? And do they have to?
Do they have to? You know what? I was just having an interesting conversation today about something related to this. It was regarding the rehabilitation of prisoners.
Okay.
You
think that works?
Do I think that works?
Yeah.
I think it has to.
Damn, okay.
I'll explain the conversation and then how it links to this.
Okay.
The convo was, like, are there certain crimes where you can't rehabilitate? You know, like, are there certain crimes where there are lost causes? You know, in the things like murder, serious assault, like sexual crimes, this, that, and the third. You know, I think most people fall on the argument that there are certain lines where you cross, you know what I mean? If you cross them, so if you need, like, you know what I mean? They're going to hang you outside McDonald's, you know, type thing. Like, it's not like, they're unforgivable.
Yes.
That's
all you have to say. But you went to go
I just wanted to portray the gravity of the situation. Like, imagine if you went to McDonald's and you saw someone hanging there. Like, you'd know, like, oh, they decided to get someone vexed. Like, yeah, someone was vexed. Like,
McDonald's goes crazy.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's why I was just portraying the gravity. But, obviously, me, I'm a sociologist, innit? You know? So, naturally, I don't think anyone is born evil type thing. And being that that's the case, there's a root.
That's interesting.
I believe that there's a root for every action. There's no matter how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can say that something is deplorable, but I can also say that it came from somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if we as a society, if we turn our noses at certain crimes, things won't become fixed. Like, if we don't make an attempt to understand something, it will always stay as such. You know?
Yeah.
So, for example, if there is never an attempt made to understand why people kill people.
Sorry, I never get comfortable. People like, killing people, right?
If sociologists never went out of their way to understand, oh, why is it in these areas there are this amount of killings? Or why do these type of crimes happen here? Mm-hmm. If they all just decided, okay, well, these people, they're morally bankrupt, you know what I mean? I'm just going to put them in pen, lock the door, throw away the key.
Yeah.
Then there would be no moving forward, you know?
Okay.
And these things would be deemed to repeat, type thing. You know, it's that saying, you know, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. And I think understanding is kind of like knowing your history. Do you know what I mean? Like, there needs to be an understanding of why something is happening in order to know what to do to stop that type thing. You know? So, my argument was, like I was saying, we can say that these crimes are reprehensible and such, but they started from somewhere, excuse me. And until we deal with the root, you know, ultimately things won't change. And if things won't change, we're not becoming any safer by pushing things to the side. And I think that is something that is reflected in our understanding, you know. Like, as a black person, I can say I don't want to understand why.
White people.
Exactly. I don't want to understand their point of view. I don't want to understand the conditions.
Because I'm suffering.
Exactly.
Like, why should I try to understand them when they don't have any issues? Type B.
Exactly. And I wouldn't say that anger is not justified, you know? But what I will say, if we want any viable action, we need to understand where things come from, you know? We need to understand how certain things are bred in order to stop that from happening, in order to mitigate, in order to move around, you know? So, yeah. That's why I think understanding has to be a two-way street, you know?
That's true. It reminds me of something, like, one of the modules that I'm studying is about terrorism. And one of the debates is about whether we should try to understand terrorists. So, they were talking about, what was it, empathetic? Cognitive, it's good to know your course and your module. They were talking about cognitive empathy and sympathetic empathy. Cognitive empathy is just about understanding the point of view that someone is coming from without necessarily having any emotional, sentimental attachment. But like, obviously, what was it, emotional? Is that, it's left my head already. But emotional empathy is the general empathy that you have on a day-to-day basis. Like, oh, you're sad. I understand why you're sad. Yeah, I understand why you did that. But with terrorism, like, why do terrorists commit terroristic? Is that the word? Why do terrorists do terrorism, Sha? So people would think, oh my gosh, it's literally abhorrent. Why would you even consider trying to empathize or think about their point of view and think that that's relatively rational or anything? But it's like, as you said, in order to move forward, we ought to understand where they're coming from in order to understand where we're going with it.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, shout out the terrorists, isn't it? Like, if, you know what I mean? All I'm saying is, let me go to someone's house and find out there's oil under it, and then to get to that oil, I'll blow up your house. You know what I mean? You're going to be vexed, you know? That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? So, like...
Wait, Christopher.
And then when these people retaliate...
He didn't stop.
Like, these are the people that get scapegoated in Western media. Like, I was watching a 9/11 documentary, you know, sometime in first year. Like, I think I was doing my research on American foreign policy. Like, yeah. America started the events that led to that. Do you know what I mean? Like, they actually started it. Like, they went to Afghanistan's country. Like, they snatched their chain and told them, hold that, because they were in a Cold War. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when they responded, you know what I mean? Everyone was like, ah, the Arabs, it's the Muslims, you know?
Yeah.
And there was no real attempt
to understand.
In understanding that
where
actual.
They came from.
And on one hand, obviously, I understand that anger, that, on a serious note, I understand that anger that they must have felt on a day where that there was incredible loss of civilian life. You know what I mean? But the Afghans have been feeling that way, type thing. Like,
so they wanted to make them understand how they felt.
Exactly. And it was understood. It's just like, well, unfortunately, they kind of took it to the next extent with the war on terror. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Type thing. Right.
But I don't know about shout out to terrorists there, because you're shocking.
My fault.
Thank you. Do you think it's easier to understand similarities or differences? Oh, the mic doesn't want to cooperate with me.
As in to understand why?
So, like, we're similar in the sense that we're both black.
Mm-hmm.
We both go to the same university.
Mm-hmm.
And what's another similarity?
We're both tall.
I guess. But that's, like, that's 2 degrees of tallness. But anyway. That's a similarity. Do you think it's easier to understand those similarities between us in comparison to differences such as you're a man, I'm a woman?
When you say understand, like...
Using your definition.
Using my definition. Okay.
That's the understanding I'm talking about.
Ah, cool. I still ask
knowing. What was it? Knowing
fully.
Yeah. Do you know fully? Our similarities better than, you know, fully our differences.
Yeah, you know. I think so. Like,
that is easier to understand our similarities.
Yeah, I'd have to say.
But to what degree are we similar though?
Like,
to what degree is your blackness the same as mine?
That's the thing. I was just about to say that, like, it does come with a caveat that even though there are similarities, there's nuance in the similarities, and it's the same goes for differences. Like, there's nuance in the differences. Like, your black is not my black type thing. Like,
oh my gosh. That's the thing. People, like, you know, society, they, like, they have labels. We pick a label. Mm-hmm. We fall under the branch of the label.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've come to realize is I feel like no one is really in a group together. Like, if you actually begin to look at the extent to which people are different things and different labels, they're going to begin to fall into their own label, and then everyone is going to be in their own box. So, like, how do we even begin to group people together in the first place?
To be honest, there's no real, like, positive to grouping people aside from the fact that it's just easy. It's just easy to recognize people like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, one grouping I find really funny is, like, UK black. You know what I mean? To those watching at home, like, if I say UK black, someone popped into your head.
Yeah.
I don't know who, but someone popped into your head. You know what I mean? And we all know the traits that they share.
Yeah.
But realistically, there's someone that could share a lot of those traits and still be their complete own individual. Like, I know a lot of people that may resemble a UK black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No names, because like, it's not a draw.
You should just drop the name, like, drop the app even.
I'm not drawing anyone out in it. Like, it's honestly like, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bust Down Babes.
Right.
Type thing, you feel me? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that may resemble or may have traits that we've come to understand as traits that belong to a group.
Yeah.
But when we really look at who they are specifically, like, they don't actually belong in that group or any, for that matter.
And even the people who supposedly belong in that group are even, like, very different.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like...
So to me, it's just like, what's the point of us interacting? If we're never actually, like, we're never going to find true similarities. We're never going to really understand our differences because we don't really understand each other. So what's the point of us interacting? Like, are we just like, you know, like gears just like turning? Are we just like grinding and like just hoping for the best to no avail because we're never going to ever understand each other? Like, is that what society is? Is that what the world is?
Well, as I said off camera, you know what I mean? I'm an absurdist. So strictly speaking, you know, we are doing this for no point. You know what I mean?
There is no intrinsic
meaning to the life we live. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's no special reason why we interact or why you want certain things from certain people.
Mm-hmm.
However.
Oh, my gosh.
However.
Yeah.
We assign those meanings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We interact with people because of reasonings that we hold. You know what I mean? Like, we interact with people because we think we stand to gain something, you know what I mean?
What do you think we want to gain?
It depends on who you are.
Wow.
You might be someone that interacts with people purely so you can gain financially.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
What are you trying to call me? A gold digger.
I didn't say you, do you know what I mean? But hey.
If the shoe fits right.
I mean, like, more power to you, bro. Okay. Like, you might be someone that you being just you as a human, like, not.
Okay,
you.
Not me.
You're following me. Exactly.
Do you see how, like, there was a misunderstanding there because the thoughts in your head translate and it didn't. Right, anyway, as you were.
But yeah, like, and you might be someone that you only interact with people if there's financial gain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You might be someone that, or a man that only interacts with women, you know, when you can get scrim type thing, you know? Or you might be someone that what you gain is a sense of community from someone that you share similarities with. What you gain is a sense of love from someone that understands.
Do you think people attract people that have the same aim?
Not necessarily.
Well, because I think that's how people get violated and exploited.
Exactly. You can be someone that, like, it happens a lot in uni specifically, actually. Specifically, actually.
Oh, long day.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, your goal is that, I want to meet someone that, or I want to meet people that I have genuine love for, that, you know what I mean? That we have a sense of community, like, our experiences bring us together, you know, in any sense, of platonic, romantic sense, you know, and you might meet someone, or you might, like, someone might come into your life, meet you, where that's not their aims, do you know what I mean?
And then you guys come together, and you just have opposing aims, and, like, you're just living your life together until you realize that both of you have different aims, and the way that you realize that is often very sad.
It's facts, you know. That happened to me in first year, you know what I mean? I'm not,
is everything okay?
I'm fine, I'm loving life.
Okay, I hope so.
I'm living my life like it's golden, you know. Shout out Jill Scott.
I like that.
But yeah, like, you can't guarantee that everybody that's in your life
thinks the same.
Exactly.
As you, has the same intentions as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only way you could possibly begin to guess is by reading someone's actions. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But even then, that's not an exact science.
Yeah, because I was even going to say, because I feel like in my head, I'm just thinking a lot about the words and the, non-tangible, basically, things and the aspects of communication. But, like, I'm not thinking about the physical very much, because I feel like it's very, very easy to misunderstand. It's very easy to misunderstand everything, like every aspect of people, like physical, non-physical, whatever, mental. So, like, I guess where I'm going with it is to ask, how do we understand each other in terms of, like, body language?
Okay, I'll use me as an example. Mm-hmm. The way I've come to understand body language is my experiences. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. It just goes back to experience again.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone stands in a certain way or sits in a certain way next to me,
yeah,
I'm going to assume that they want to bang me in the face. Do you know what I mean? But someone might just be standing that way. That might just be how someone's standing. You know what I mean? Like they might just clench their fists like that. You know, they might have a condition that means that they can't really open their hands.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, but I wouldn't know that. I'm going off my experiences.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like.
That's true.
There are certain things
that... You don't know what people are going through.
Exactly. Like, there are certain things that tell me that someone is comfortable. However, someone might be comfortable sitting in a way that I would interpret rigid.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very wordy sentence, actually.
How was I in... I must have been... What was it? In science concourse. Like, no one knows what that is, but, like, I was walking down the corridor and someone was sitting, like... It was, like, a squat position. Like, their shoes were on the floor.
Oh, man. Like,
and they were just sitting. And
they
were
on the chair?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Like,
you understand what? Like, their body was like this.
Okay.
I hate that. That's what they looked like when they were sitting. And I'm just giving you an example for what you said. But, yeah, they looked uncomfortable. To me, like, that would be uncomfortable. But, like, they looked quite comfortable in the position that they were in. So I guess on a wider scale, like to actual like big people societal problems, it's like you just have to try and think about it from my point of view, but it's hard to think about it from my point of view if you don't know my point of view and you haven't been in my point of view before.
Exactly. And that's why I say shout out colonialism, because that is a perfect microcosm. Or I should say macrocosm of like that, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? White people, like, they came to Africa
and, yeah,
like, they saw people living in isolated communities, in villages, tribes, not really, like...
interacting with each other.
Exactly. Okay. You know what I mean?
Then, yeah, I understand that. Okay,
and then white people was like, what the fuck are you lot doing? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
No, we're going to change this.
Yeah.
You know, type thing. And then...
to make it mirror what they know.
Exactly. Like, you, like, no, no, they was like, no, you lot are wrong, innit? Like, you don't need to be what we're on. You know what I mean?
That's really interesting. I'm doing a module as well, again. It's a, and like one of the essays was about how people condemn things that are different to the way that they would do it. So, like, as you said, with colonialism, like, what's even an example? I don't really know an example, but like, you see how like places like South Africa have schools with like uniform that mirror like the exact same type of schools of uniform in the UK. Is like, we went over there to change how you guys are doing your stuff because it doesn't look like how we do it, so therefore it's wrong. So in the same way, like in general, because it doesn't look like how I'm doing it, therefore you're wrong.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Is it right? No, I don't think it's right, but it's something that at some point in our lives, you know, we're all susceptible to doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could think of many of an example where I've seen someone that has been casted as the weird one, the one that's the outcast.
Yeah. Because they was that you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was so... Listen, shout out anyone that went Dunraven, innit? Niggas know me. Like, I was mad popular. Everybody fucked with me. Like, do you know what I mean? I was like... I wasn't the guy, but like, I was never the weird one. Like, you know, one day, I'm chilling with a man that play Pokemon. One day, I'm chilling with a man that rush people. Like, everybody likes me. You know what I mean? Like, I was never really the weird one. Plus, as well, even if I was like 6'2" when I was 15. Like, I couldn't feel weird if I wanted to. Like, I'm taller than everyone. Like, do you know what I mean?
Don't that make you feel weird though?
No. Because everyone in my school was mad tall. I can't lie, our school was weird. Everybody was tall in our school. Like, it was like, I didn't know I was long until like sixth form. Do you know what I mean? Because
are you changing school for sixth form?
Yeah, I went to my sixth form and then like
externals came to your school
and then they was like, "Raw, you're tall." Like, "Raw," like I was thinking, "Am I?" You know what I mean? Like, I need.
See how life is. You don't like.
I wasn't even the tallest.
Because of the environment that you were. You weren't the tallest in your.
In my friend group, I knew someone that was all legs, no torso. Hand on a Bible. His legs came up to here.
Four legs. No, his torso.
Listen, I'm going to show my brethren this clip specifically. He knows who I'm talking about. His legs came up to like here. He used to bang ball. He was tall.
Four legs, no torso. Praise him. Like, you know, he is now Is he doing good?
I'm sure he goes BCU. Shout out him. We haven't spoken in a minute.
But maybe shout out BCU even. He's not far. You should just jump on the train. Shout out BCU.
You know what I mean? Shout out Birmingham. Shout out Brampton. Like, shout out Perry Bar. You know what I mean? Them places there. But
I do know so much about Birmingham.
I know so much about a lot of things. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I'm well educated. Okay. But yeah, like, the fact that his legs came up to here was normal to us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because there were other people with similar builds. Like,
because that's the environment that you grew up in.
Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be... And then anyone that was outside, we was like, why are you not 6 foot? Like, that is weird.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, you're the
weirdo.
And then I looked up the stats for people that are 6 foot. It's like 10% of the population. It was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But yeah. Like, definitely.
I have a thought experiment.
Please, go on.
It was, how does one, okay, it's not really a thought experiment, actually. It's just like a philosophical, like, not question, philosophical question, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you probably heard it before. When you see colours, like, am I seeing the same colour as you? Like, when you see green, is that, like, do I see green the same way you see green? Or is every green that you see actually blue to me?
Mm.
Do you see the issue? And it's like, if you make that an actual problem, is like everything that you see the same way that I see it, is that why everyone has issues with each other?
It's facts. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't, it's impossible to know if we see things the same way.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's why schizophrenia is peak. Like, I might see a leprechaun walk in here,
mm-hmm.
and that's real life to me. Like, there's a leprechaun dancing on the table right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's doing the moonwalk. Yeah. But you're not seeing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I can't even communicate to you, like, why? Because it's dancing there, like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, ultimately, people's experiences are just different.
Exactly.
Well, it's giving me a headache just thinking about it. Because I'm still stuck on the fact that, as you, like, you're already going to conclude absurdism, which is fine. But for people who don't want to conclude that we're here for no reason, how, it's not even a question of how do you fix it. Like, what are we and what are we doing with the, like, with the current way that we're communicating with each other? How does it even work? How does it function? Does it work? Does it function?
It depends on how you look at it, you know? Because mm-hmm. if we're looking at, like, the problems that exist in the world, one could make a very good argument that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that on a very large scale, like an institutional scale.
Well,
like,
words.
That understanding is ingrained, do you know what I mean? Like, it's something that we see as normal. Type thing, like, not understanding things. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, like, there's doctors that think that black women can just firm, just say, like black would be telling them, like, I'm dying, and then doctors will just be like, charge it. Like, yeah. You know what I mean, your skin is dark, you know?
Okay.
Type thing.
But you're right.
And it's like, that's engraved, like, they write that in textbooks, type thing. So if you look at it from that angle, it's not working. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, however, do you know what I mean? Like,
like, are we at our optimum, how would you say it?
Oh, no.
Do you think it's going to get better than this?
Do I think?
Yeah.
A couple revolutions here and there. You might be cooking something, but I don't know. Like,
do you believe in historical materialism?
I've heard that phrase before, but I forgot what it means. Please.
I'm pretty sure it's, like, linked to the fact that we, like, first of all, history repeats itself. And then each time, like, it kind of starts with a revolution. Do you believe that? Like, in order to, like, refresh the system and, like, go again and make it better, we have to revolt?
Yeah. I'm gonna lie. I'm not gonna say who, because I value my life as it is.
Okay.
But a couple leaders of state have to get boomed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Boomed is, you know, crazy.
Like, it's... I'm a very strong believer. Like, I've studied a lot of revolutions across a lot of states. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, you know, like... Sometimes things on that scale just have to happen. Like, my man had a makeshift gun in Japan.
Okay.
You know, that had a crazy chain effect
mm-hmm.
type thing. But that's neither here nor there. Like, I think on a grander scale, like a misunderstanding is, like, intrinsic to our society.
Yeah,
I mean?
That's just really scary, though, because I even understand that. Like, the sentence that you said, like, it makes sense, but I don't like it. I think that's the issue.
I don't blame you for not liking it. I think we shouldn't like it, you know what I mean? I think...
But, like, how do we change it if we can never actually really understand each other to be able to change it?
Hey,
absurdism, right?
Because we just got to start again. But, like, until then, you know, like, we have to carry our own meanings, you know what I mean? Like, we have to, like, we have to trust the people that we know understand us enough that, you know, we
understand us enough, in quotation marks.
You know? Like, we just have to trust that that's happening. Like, yeah. I don't know if anyone in my life actually understands the things in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I don't think anyone does.
I feel like that was put in a way that implies something I don't like.
No.
I mean, like,
I'm not saying that you're strange and that you're weirdo.
I'm normal.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone would agree with you.
I'm sure they would. Mm-hmm. Actually, do you know what I mean? Like,
you guys can, like, comment below what you think about that sentence, that statement.
Listen, I feel like more people are going to see what I'm saying than not. That's who I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay, heard. Okay. Heard. But, like, I understand. But I just, as I said, I don't like it. I feel like I never walk away from these conversations having, like, had a revelation. It's always, like, a deep dive into, yeah, like, nothing's going to change. Everything's rubbish. But separately, When you think about relationships and, like, relationships in terms of, like, romantic relationships and even just friendships in general, you know them friendships where it's, like, that's my, like, sibling typey. How do you get there? Like, even familial relationships, like, with your parents and with your siblings, how do you understand each other on such a great basis that you guys, like, bounce off of each other and work so well?
Well, if I think about the people in my life that I regard as, like, familial, you know, I think it's because we spent so much time together experiencing the same things. Like, I don't have to explain my experience to you because you were there. You understand because you was there. Like, you saw what I saw. Yeah. You ate what I ate. You felt what I felt. You know what I mean?
I don't know if they felt what you felt.
It's true. I don't know.
But, like, they were there and they had their experience.
They was there.
And that might just be enough.
It's true. Like, yeah. You know, like, you might be someone that you don't rock with your brother or sister like that, do you know what I mean? Like, maybe you spent all the time in the world with them and, like, they just didn't see things how you saw them.
Why is that? That's what I'm saying. Because the first thing that you said, like, I feel like I was getting somewhere with that. Like, the reason why we get on so well is because, like, we've been through stuff together. We've been through a lot together. Mm. And that's just going to make our relationship stronger because we're continually going to go through things together. Mm. But I was going to say that some people meet very later on in their life and come from different walks of life. Because when I see interracial relationships, for example, and even interracial friendships, it's like, how are you guys together? And I'm not even because necessarily I'm one of those people who think that specific people belong with specific people. That's not necessarily...
That's a very political sentence. I like how you said specific. That's, you know what I mean?
But, like, interpret it as you will. It's not necessarily because that is, like, in the forefront of my mind. It's because, like, what you said just reminded me of something that I always think that people... The reason why, like, for example, me, I'm a black woman. I've come to uni and I spend most of my time with black women, even on my course. My course is very small. I don't have many black people in my course. I always migrate to black people. And it's not because I intentionally choose to do that. I just feel like I don't have anything to say to people who don't look like me because I feel like they haven't had the same experience as me. And even at that, there are some black people in my course who haven't had the same experience as me. They haven't grown up where I've grown up, and, like, you can tell. And it's like, what do I say to you? How do I have a conversation with you? But that's basically what I'm saying. How do people who are so different come together and actually, like, exist?
I think there's an effort made. There's an effort made to understand.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that still. That's too much.
Yeah, like, it's... On paper, like, it actually sounds like a lot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if we're from two different walks of life, we actually have to try to understand each other.
Yeah.
In my experience, anyway, like, a lot of the time, it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the people I know that I'm close with, there are a lot of things we share in common. Mm-hmm. You know? Same time, though, there's a lot of things that set us apart. You know?
But do you think it works because you have more things in common than things that are different?
I do think. Because it makes the process of what we assume to be understanding easier.
Yeah. You know. I like that sentence.
Because
we don't even know what understanding is again at this point.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah.
Because even me, like, at work, like, I don't have any friends that aren't black. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
And if you do, they're not really friends. They're just, like, people that you're going to, like, say hi to and bye to. Because, like, we had a conversation once.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and shout out all my non-black people, innit? I don't
hate
man. You.
Yeah, know? For real.
It's just...
I just don't get you.
Yeah, like...
And I don't know what to talk to you about. Like, how do I talk to you? Like, yeah, what do you talk about? Because I know, like, with my friends, I'm going to talk about, like, where we're going. And more time, like, if going out for enjoyment, for example, like, my enjoyment is not the same as people who are not black's enjoyment. And even some people who are black, their enjoyment is not the same as mine. You can keep yourself mentally stimulated.
Yeah. In my head, yeah. Walk with me here. In my head, it's a white space, yeah. It's a white space. Infinite white space. Infinite, you know. And in the middle of said infinite, which is kind of a paradox, but this is neither here nor there. In the middle is a white round table with seats. And at each seat is like a different facet of my personality. And then there's a screen being projected, which is the events of my life. Like, if, like, let's say if I get banged in the face here, that will play on the screen. And then the round table of Christophers will congregate as to...
They're just bare Christophers talking to each other about the events in your life.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Christopher, let's just hope you don't die in it. I believe you. But, like, that's a very interesting way to think about the way that you exist on a day-to-day basis. And even at that, the way that you just explained that to me, did I understand it? That's what I'm trying to think to myself. Because I get what you said, or I think that you said to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I understood it.
It's true.
Because I'm trying to compare it to me. I think that's the problem a lot of the time with why people don't understand each other. Because I'm trying to make it relevant to me.
Exactly.
And that it just has nothing to do with me. I should just understand it as it is.
Now we're cooking with gas, you know. When we look at conversations...
Where do you get these phrases from? First of all, like, the number of gems that you've dropped in this video alone, like, where do you get that from? Do you practice it in your room?
My verbiage is expansive.
Your verbiage?
I do my Googles, you know? To all the young children out there, expand your vocabulary, you know? It will take you a long way in life. It expands the amount of people you can talk to you, and therefore expands your opportunities. You know what I mean?
Even at that. Sorry. Just bring it back. Do you think, like, is that why, like, you know, like, the stereotypical, like, gangsta boy from, like, South London, like, doesn't, like, wouldn't become, like, a corporate lawyer, for example? Oh, that was really easy. Like, you just said yes.
So, gosh, that was the right question to ask me. Right. Because let's take the stereotypical gangsta boy, yeah. And let's take... the stereotypical lawyer.
Yeah.
For the sake of argument, we'll say prosecution. Not defense lawyer, prosecution. Okay. It's really important, actually.
Okay.
We'll take a prosecution. Someone that's a prosecution, you know what I mean? Someone that's made it to be a lawyer, passed their bar exam and everything.
Mm-hmm.
More likely than not. I'm not talking about those of you who come from areas where there are gangster boys, and you decided, you know what, I want to be a lawyer. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the average lawyer. Okay. Someone that they came up in an area where there was ample opportunity and cultural capital, you know?
Wow.
There was someone that wasn't deprived,
mm-hmm.
you know? It doesn't have to be affluent. It just wasn't deprived, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They was doing cool. They was cool. They grew up with a place with village in the name, you know what I mean? Like, they're calm. You know, they grew up, them far sides that they like to claim are southeast, but they're not, do you know what I mean? Shout out to you guys at work that do that. We're onto you, do you know what I mean? Like, just allow it, bro. Anyway, if we take that
he's
person,
he's gatekeeping Southeast London, and I love it.
Huh? Oh,
is that something that you want to say?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I did.
That's crazy.
I gatekeep, and what? Anyway, sorry, as you were.
Well, yeah, like, if we take that average person, mm-hmm. you know, they've grown up believing certain things, mm-hmm. being taught certain things by their experiences, you know, and as they advance through life, there's gonna be certain things that they don't run into,
mm-hmm.
you know. Just as a way of where they are, what they believe, what they get up to, their area, this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
That all informs certain things. And then we take the gangster boy, you know? Mm-hmm. We flip it on the other head. Everything that I just said, opposite it. Yeah. You know what I mean? If we put them two in the same room, what we're going to find is more often than not, if the gangster boy tries to communicate a point about something, you know,
not
only will it not be understood, there will not be an attempt
to understand.
And the reason why that is because there's already assumptions being made. You
about
know?
The gangster boy.
Exactly. Like, this is why it's so easy for certain things to happen. This is why it's so easy for those that I don't know. I'm about to drop some gems. It's so easy for things like in the 70s, when the economy crashed, what did the government do? What did the media do? They told you it was the black people they just invited. They just invited a bunch of skilled workers, mind you, Windrush era. They invited them, you know, your doctors, your trade workers, people that they're making a living. The government told you, actually, the economy is failing and your jobs are stolen because of these muggers, these robbers. You know what I mean? They did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people believed it. Do you know why? People believed it because their understanding of things is not like, they haven't had any experiences close to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either they have had, most of them haven't had real interactions with black people and they have no, their understanding is based on completely different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's easy for them to be fooled like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we observe in life every day, you know? Me as a black man, not me, but just as a black man,
yeah,
it might be easier for me to not understand misogynoir because I'm not a woman. I'm not a black woman. Do you know what I mean? There are certain things that you go through that I don't go through. And I can say, ah, cool, I don't hear what you're saying. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, I can say I've never experienced that strand of racism. You know what I mean? That strain is new to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't smoke that. That's, you know? Like, it's not...
I was even gonna say, like, even within the black community in and of itself, like, I feel like if a lot more black men thought like you did, like what you just said right there, very inspirational, Sha. If a lot more black men thought that way, I feel like we won't have as many issues as we do now, because like black women be going through it, and it's a thing where we're trying to explain ourselves to not only the white people who don't get it and are not trying to get it and will probably never get it because they're white. And then we're trying to explain ourselves to black men who you ought to get it, because more time, I feel like that's another thing I wanted to bring up, but I'm glad I left it to last, which is, I feel like it's easier for black women, so like me, for example, to understand what you're going through as a black man. And I don't think it's necessarily because of empathy. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's necessarily because of empathy, but there's just something about the fact that we've struggled more, so we know what it feels like to suffer. So any form of suffering, even that we don't experience, we can relate to and we can understand. So like, for example, we're not as likely to be stopped and checked by police as you lot are, but we understand the sentiment behind it and how it makes you feel when you go out in the streets. We're not as likely to be G-checked by gangster boys, as we were talking about, as you are, but we understand it. We understand the sentiment behind it and how it will make you feel. But when it comes to stuff like, oh yeah, well now we're on the internet and like white girls are putting braids in their hair, we're going to see black men in the comments going, why are you guys gatekeeping? What's so important about white girls getting their braids done? You lot wear wigs. And it's stuff like that, that's like, what is it within the, like, what are black men smoking? That you lot are just like so delusional. Not you, obviously, but like that black men are just so delusional. To like you fail to understand and to see like the pain of black women constantly. Like and I don't know if it's an active choice, you go out of your way to like ignore the fact that we're going through stuff, or like what is it? What do you think it is?
My theory is it comes down to the nature of understanding. One thing about knowing fully, if I don't have the experience that you have, I have to try to understand. I have to try. There's an effort that needs to be made.
Yeah.
However, what's really easy is just going by whether I understand it or I don't first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you tell me something and I don't understand it first time, it's easy for me to say, you know what?
I mean, I understand.
You know what I mean? You're on your own, buddy. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's the attitude that you lot have. You know, And you, I've been waiting for your voice to come into the back of this.
Obviously, we know that black men go through, and I will never undermine
never.
The experience of black men.
Thanks. Thanks.
That predominantly Western society.
Thanks.
Yeah. I feel that, to some extent, if I'm permitted to say, please don't cancel me, black men do possess, some, not all, possess a victim mentality to some extent. Warranted.
Wow.
Granted, because they are, to some degree, victims of, like, the infrastructures of society.
Yeah.
I feel that they're so engrossed by their own
victimhood. Their own victimhood.
To see that anyone else in this life can be more of a victim than
them. Than they are.
So that's why it's hard for them to be, but, like, that's how black women are going through it, because what do you mean you're going through it? What about me when I walk in a shop and they're all on my back? Or what about me when...
But that's the delusion I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But how could you possibly, as a man, how could you possibly think that you are the biggest victim here? And I think that's another issue. Like, black men, you're such crybabies. Stop it. Grow up. Sorry, not you. Just like, okay, you've suffered. Okay, you've struggled. But, like, there are people who are suffering silently. And, like, we're just holding it. We're holding it from white men. We're holding it from white women. We're holding it from Asian people. We're even holding it from black men as well. But, like, it's all about you. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that conversation too tough. But, Elizabeth, thank you for that your small contribution.
Thank you.
But did you have anything to say in response to that?
In response?
Or on top, if you like.
I think there are a lot of issues in the black community that just stem from not just not understanding, but not trying to, you know. Like, we're on this black woman conversation, which obviously is an important conversation, but it can really be expanded to a lot of things. You know what I mean? Anything from homophobia to, like, parents that, like, don't like long hair. Do you know what I mean? It really stretches type thing. Like, all just from not wanting to understand. It's comfortable staying in your initial reaction, you know? And not really interrogating, and not really trying to bridge that gap type thing most times. Like, and that's why things persist. You know, that's why, you know, like, misogynoir persists. Like, it's easier to not understand it.
Yeah.
You know? I think that applies to all problems in life.
Yeah.
Type thing. You know?
You're right.
Like, for a white person, it's easier for them to pretend that racism doesn't exist than to actually tackle with how they interact with it, you know?
Because I feel like I've been asking a question of, will you ever understand me, in a sense of, like, can you ever understand me? But I've neglected the question of, do you want to understand me?
Exactly. Now we're at the cocoa of the matter.
Oh, you know what I mean? God. Christopher is everything well at home. Like, where did he learn that one from? Because even me, that one is not in my vocabulary.
I'm not from anywhere in Africa. I'm Pan-African.
No, that's gorgeous.
I feel like I should just clip that as a video. I just post it like that. I'm not from anywhere in Africa. I'm Pan-African. Now what?
I mean.
Now what? We praise him. Anyway, one thing, yes. The last thing I want to say to leave off on, because the video is in fact rounded into an hour. We ought to try to understand each other rather than just, like, sitting in willing ignorance, because that is the crux and the core, as Christopher has mentioned, of the issue and of many issues. That's, like, I think we might have, like, solved world, not world poverty, what is it? We haven't solved world poverty. Do you know?
World hunger, is that?
Not world hunger. Like, we've solved all the issues in the world. Like, all of the political disputes in the world and things of that nature. Simply by telling people to understand each other and, like, try to understand each other. Not even in, like, a moist way of, like, cry with people. But just, if you like, it can be cognitive empathy. That's the word, right? Yeah, it can be cognitive empathy. Just understand where people are coming from and why they feel a specific type of way and why they act a type of way. But it has to be two ways. Even if you are the one who is, like, on the oppressed or victimized side, you ought to try to understand people, and that will get us a long way.
It will indeed, you know. Make peace and love. Do you know what I mean? Like, understanding is something that we take for granted as humans, you know.
Yeah, you're right. The level of understanding that you're trying to understand someone right now, just know that that's like 2%. You can do more. Try harder in your everyday life to understand people. It's Thank facts. You for listening. Christopher, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed this very much. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a nice conversation. Like,
Wow. Thank you to all who have remained here till this point, listening to us speaking. That's the end of episode 3. I hope you've watched episode 1 and 2. If you haven't, you're weirdo. Just make sure to be here for episode 4. I will see you next time. Before we go, Christopher is going to reintroduce himself and drop his Instagram and his TikTok so you guys can follow. Go.
My name is Christopher. On TikTok, you can find me at Cebo, that is CEEBOSW for Stockwell and Southwest.
I'm so sorry. Like, I was literally wondering where you got the SW from. Sorry, as you were.
Yeah, I realized that it wasn't clear when someone like read out my ad to me and they said Cebosu.
Who would do that? Why would they do that?
You can't make something like
Cebosu.
That.
Responsible for that. Okay, no worries. Sorry, yeah, as you were. Super goes crazy, as you were.
And then
Instagram,
LR full stop Cebo, CEEBO.
Thank you guys. Make sure to follow him and run up his likes and all those things. Christopher makes music. He didn't want to say, but like he says, it's a side hustle. So I guess it's a side hustle. But like, go listen to his tunes, innit? See you guys in the next one. Christopher, do post. We need to do thumbnail.
Ah, well, let me look sophisticated.
Ah, no, he's joking.
LinkedIn.